You're listening to Friday Night's Arena. P.G. Woodhouse, writer of novels, plays and musicals, will forever be remembered as the inventor of Jeeves and Wooster, one of the funniest double acts undoubtedly in English literature. His invention didn't end there, of course. He's responsible for a whole cast of comic creations, including Lord Emsworth of Blandings Castle, Roderick Spode of the Oswald Musley send-up, and one of the most marvellous fictional aunts ever, Aunt Agatha. It's no small honour and responsibility, then, to be given the mantle of the new author of the Tales of Jeeves and Wooster by the Woodhouse Estate. Ben Schott has been given just that task and has published Jeeves and the Leap of Faith, which is his second novel, featuring the autocratic butler and his hapless charge. Declan Burke has been reading it for us, and we'll hear what Declan thought of it shortly. But first of all, let's get we got a flavour of the theme tune there of the BBC TV series from 1990, a few minutes ago. Let's hear Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie now as Jeeves and Wooster from the same series. And not for the first time, they do battle over Bertie's wardrobe.
Pardon me for asking, sir, but are you proposing to appear in public in those garments?
Well, certainly, Jeeves. But a bit vivid, do you think?
Not necessarily, sir. I'm told that Mr. Freddy, he's a riot flower dew, often appears on the music hall stage in comparable attire. But
No buts, Jeeves. I happen to think very highly of them.
There we go. Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie as Jeeves and Wooster in the BBC series from 1990. Pelham Grenville, P.G. Woodhouse, born in Surrey in 1881, died in Long Island in 1975, known as Plum to his friends. He was a huge success as an author in his lifetime. Evelyn Waugh, no less, called him the master. Declan Burke, as I said, reading the book for us, and a man with an interest in Jeeves and Wooster himself. First of all, the master. Is Evelyn Waugh right about that? Or Evelyn Waugh right about that, Declan?
I certainly think he was, Sean. I mean, he was describing him as the master in a particular context, and he was talking about his ability to write these comic masterpieces. But for shorthand, people tend to use the phrase the master. And look, he was an absolute master of the comic novel, not just a novel, as you said in the intro, to musical plays and all manner of kind of humorous writing. A wonderful variety of styles, and always beautifully light, always beautifully gently absurd. These kind of, he used to describe his writing as musical comedy without the music, and that kind of sums up his ability to kind of sidestep out of reality and create these wonderful fairy tales in which time seems to stand still.
Jeeves and Wooster, though, they really are the top end of his creations.
They are. They tend to take place, the stories tend to take place in around the early 1930s, Sean, in that kind of interwar period in which, you know, people could still believe that all was going to be well, and particularly those of the class of Bertie Wooster, who never seems to have worked a day in his life, but is always very well provided for in the matter of the old simoleons. And he tends to drift from one club to another and having a tiffler here and so forth, and getting into scrapes, and ended up being, you know, engaged to women that he always seems to think are unsuitable for his purposes. Well, he just doesn't want to get married. That's full stop. And then we have Jeeves, as we heard in the clip, who is vastly more intelligent than his upper class employer, and much more eloquent and so forth, and always manages to quietly steer Bertie away from his latest disaster without having time, without Bertie even realising he was on the brink of disaster.
Woodhouse himself, 96 books he wrote, staggering achievement, obviously, and clearly he enjoyed his work. So he was very seldom in trouble outside, and the fun of his books, I suppose, people just had fun with that. But he did land himself in a little trouble, first of all, with the Inland Revenue. But the big controversial incident, which kind of feeds into the book, which we find out later, was he was interned by the Nazis during World War II and made some very naive broadcasts. What happened there? How was he so naive?
Well, I think naive is the crucial word here. He was living in France when the war broke out, for tax reasons, as far as I understand, and was interned as a non-combatant. And while he was interned, he did an interview with the, I think it was the New York Times, about his time in being interned. And as a result, the US CBS corporation that were based in Berlin persuaded him to do some broadcast to America, talking about his experience of being interned and what it was like to be a prisoner of, well, not quite a prisoner of war, but under German a prisoner of Germany, and he agreed to do it. And it's this naivety that I think that you have alluded to, and this sense of not being quite in the world, that persuaded him to go ahead. And he did five broadcasts, which were, as you can imagine, there were mixed reviews stateside, and of course it quickly filtered back to the UK, and there was outrage. And he was condemned as a collaborator, as a traitor. It was very much a Lord Ho-Ho kind of scenario that he was being accused of. And as soon as he heard that this was the reaction, he immediately ceased and tried to be released from Germany, which wasn't possible. And after the war, I mean, MI5 investigated him. He was held by the French and he was investigated and so forth. And he was cleared of all charges, of all charges, really, bar kind of stupidity and ignorance. George Orwell famously wrote that, you know, P.G. Wodehouse could not be accused of any kind of political awareness. One only has to read one of his novels to become clear on that. So, you know, it's this naivety, this sense of the fact that he lived outside the reality of the world that kind of catapulted him into this Bertie-like disaster.
Yeah, but he did redeem his reputation subsequent to all of that. And I guess that fascism side of things directly feeds into the Roderick Spode character of Wodehouse himself, but and that in turn feeds into what Ben Schott has done in this new novel, Jeeves and the Leap of Faith.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the story starts off, Ben Schott's second stab at the Wodehouse oeuvre, starts out with the Drones Club in all kinds of trouble, Sean. This is very important, and they're going to the wall, so Bertie has to try and step in and bring Jeeves in to come up with a solution. But the main plot revolves around a revelation from the previous Ben Schott novel, in which we're told that Jeeves has all along, and his Ganymede Club, have been an important part of the British Secret Service. And in this novel, Bertie is kind of co-opted by the British Secret Service to go to Cambridge to sabotage Roderick Spode, whose saviours of Britain, his black-shorted saviours of Britain, are on the march yet again. And Spode is about to make a big speech, and it's up to Bertie to kind of put a spoke in his wheels.
Wodehouse famous for his one-liners, and Schott obviously has to write in the style. I presume he's writing in the style of Wodehouse. Do you have a favourite Wodehouse one-liner, or were there any Schott one-liners that struck you?
Well, I mean, I do. We could be here all week, Sean. My favourite Wodehouse one-liner is from Enter Smith, actually, in which this kind of raffish, loquacious character introduces himself. "I am Smith," said the old Etonian reverently. "There is a preliminary P before the name. This, however, is silent. Like the tomb, compare such words as ptarmigan, Sam, and Thysis." And that's the kind of humour, that gentle kind of mocking of, you know, the slightly upper-class twits that always has characterised the Wodehouse style. Ben Schott is obviously a student and a scholar, because we have lines like, "Despite more than a passing resemblance to a befreckled Pekingese, there was much to commend Miss Stoker as a permanent romantic feature." So he's definitely doing his best to resurrect the Wodehouse one-liner. I don't think he's quite there, but it's also important to remember, you know, he's not trying to replicate P.G. Wodehouse. This is very much, as he says in his own intro.
Have we lost you there, Dex? We've lost you there, Declan. And I'll tell you what, we'll just go to our break. Jeeves and the Leap of Faith. Unfortunately, Declan gone from us there. Jeeves and the Leap of Faith by Ben Schott is published by Hutchinson.